Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Really tired of not being able to do anything.
Role playing achieved. Check.
Treats could dodge.
Fuck it up a little more.
Like, oh, what is that smell?
I could polymorph this crab into a giant crab.
Oh my god, a crab stuffed crab.
It's a crab within this crab.
I wish you knew somebody else with a bow.
Steven!
It has a can, but you're not sure where the can came from.
Jack fires off 6 magical arrows.
Come on, buddy. You take that one. I got these 2.
Red, you sure you're fine in there?
Red, how's it looking in there?
I'm doing my best!
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is season 2, episode 34, Power Play.
MVP this week is Kit Morton, who tweeted out that they're all caught up on Dice Shame and they've started on the Invictus Streams back catalog in podcast form. Definitely check out our channel on YouTube for hundreds of other games. I recommend The Big Show If or Dolls 4. And thanks for listening.
If you're enjoying the show, and we sure hope you are, please consider showing us some support by joining us on Patreon. Our reward tiers offer bonus content for every budget, and it's a great way to say thanks for all the hours and hours and hours of entertainment. Follow the link on our website or search for the Invictus stream on Patreon today.
All right, shall we do this?
Yeah, let's play some D&D.
Woo!
So Henry's 6 now, and he's really into dinosaurs. These fucking books that he gets all the time are growing in intensity, in detail. We're learning more about dinosaurs as a family.
Excellent.
And it got me thinking about...
As it should be.
I've learned a lot of my preconceived notions were incorrect.
That's right. But it got me thinking just about, you know, not just the prehistoric world, but kind of what our lives were like prior to the current day.
And like yesterday.
Yesterday or any time before that.
100 yesterdays, 1,000 yesterdays. Yeah.
Today and tomorrow.
How the modern world has changed us.
Yeah, exactly.
Made us jaded.
Exactly. For me, I mean, it would be really, really cool to be able to see creatures from that era, or even more recent, you know, tens of thousands of years ago, to see like these giant land sloths. Or, and yeah. I mean, I really love the idea of megafauna, to be able to just see them in person. But like, even more recently, I love cell phones.
Yeah.
Really appreciate them, all that they've done for us, for me. And I would be lying if I said that I wasn't on my phone fucking all the time. But I really miss the vibe of leaving your house and just being able to go outside.
Not being reachable.
Yeah. And like, someone will call you at your house and they just won't be able to get in touch with you because you're out of touch. Mm-hmm. Whether you're in the shower or you're out watching a movie or you're camping or you're on vacation, like, you're just not reachable. I think that's something that's so calming and just nice. So I wanted to ask everybody, what do you, I guess, miss, whether or not you experienced it, whether it's like a dinosaur that you never got to see, or just the experience of going outside to play with your friends and being gone for 4 hours that was in the past but is no longer possible?
I mean, for me, it was definitely a time I didn't live in. But I think most of us here, at the very least Rob, will probably agree that maps are cool, you know?
They're fine.
Maps are cool.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be really neat. I mean, there's something, and it's funny because I think of sci-fi shows like Star Trek and how, you know, they map out areas. It would be really interesting to be on Earth at a time, or at least to think back to a time, where people are just like, yeah, we don't know what the fuck's over there on Earth. There's like, yeah, that direction, we don't know yet. We got to send people out. And it's so crazy to think, it wasn't that long ago, that we just didn't know what was here, you know? That there was a time where maps were just unfinished. They're just like, we kind of have an idea. There are people over there probably, but we don't know what it looks like. We don't know who looks there. And that would be such a fucking awesome era, you know, aside from all the other things to live in, to be like, guys, what do you think is on the other side of the world?
Yeah.
Like, conversations could just be like that.
You're right.
We have a connection to Earth. We have a connection. It's our home planet. And there was a time not that long ago where we didn't even know what it was, like, fully.
Totally.
Just in terms of, like, eras that are bygone, you can't get that back. You can't be like, you know, you could leave your cell phone in a drawer. You could lose network, but you can't lose the ability to, like, discover the planet. And it would be really interesting to live at a time where common, like, everyone on Earth was just like, or everyone rather around you is just like, yeah, we don't know what the fuck's over
there. Yeah, you could be like, I want to grow up and be an explorer. And people wouldn't be like, well, that's stupid because we already found everything.
Yeah, they'd be like, good on you, because we need to have people out there exploring the peaks of the mountains and the pivots of the valley. It just seems so cool.
To the Northwest Passage we
do. For real. Martin Frobisher.
What kind of animals will we find?
I feel a little chagrin, I don't know if this information wasn't available or contextualized in the same way or whatever, but I it wasn't until way later than I'd have liked in life when I sort of got the context of, like, you know, there were giant mammoths alive when the pyramids were being built, and we are closer to Cleopatra than Cleopatra was to those pyramid builders. And when Oxford University was founded, the Aztecs were over there, you know, doing their whole thing. Or, you know,
you could have sent a fax to Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Or a samurai could have sent a fax to Abraham Lincoln, kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, all of that stuff. I feel like the way I was taught history for a long time was very much, we're going to talk about the French Revolution, and then we're going to talk about the American Revolution, but we're not going to, like, paint the picture of what's happening in Spain at the same time as all of those things, or what, you know, or where, you know, Simón Bolívar's doing in wherever else at all these other times. Like, it's just the greater global context of a lot of things, I feel like I have a better appreciation for now, and not as much as I
was listening to a thing last night where they, like, talked about how for a brief period of time, the band Queen with Freddie Mercury and Nirvana existed at the same time. And I'm like, my brain sort of, I understand that, but at the same time, my brain kind of like, it kind of like wipes off my brain, like grease off like a countertop in the way that I'm like, no, one of these bands feels like distinctly 70s and 80s and the other one feels so 90s that I'm like, they can't have been around at the same time. Wrong. They were. and yeah, it's just like, it's even like small things like that, like feel like when you're just like, oh, all these people lived at the same time. It's like finding out like, who was it? There was like Anne Frank and Martin Luther King Jr.
Like Barbara Walters.
Yeah. Barbara, all born in the same year.
Yeah.
And they all feel like you're just like, oh no. Like again, history is taught to you like chunk, chunk, chunk. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, it's like these things all,
I mean, it's tough, right?
Worlds.
I mean, to the credit of schools, it's like, There's a lot to go through.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of history.
A lot of stuff happened in history.
And there's
it's just everything that happened before now.
And it's always getting more.
Yeah. We're making history right now.
There's so many memes to learn.
And it also says a lot about our like cultural things we value for like what things get into that curriculum or out of it or put where or... You know, I think there's a lot of...
It's kind of a crapshoot.
But in the same way you were talking about, you know, maps and what's over there and who controls that information is a real thing, right? Like who decides what gets taught, who decides what people get to know.
Totally.
Is a
big map is onto us. There is no other side of the world.
What? You can't go inside.
What is it about the past that you would want to experience that you miss?
I mean, were a time machine available, being able to go to all of those places at the same like time and get that sense of what's going on in each of them and have that context, I think is super interesting. And it would be interesting in any time you go. It'd be interesting to go in the 70s and have a global perspective of what's going on. It'd be interesting to go in the
1870s. Oh, so you're saying global perspective would be interesting.
I think that's the, yeah. And if you're thinking about, I want to go a global perspective on what was happening with which dinosaur on which continent and where can you go find which weird giant frog and a T-Rex,
but
like that's also
the
interesting.
Internet. That's just learning stuff.
That's
on
okay,
the
though.
Internet.
What Rob is saying is he wishes the internet could exist at a particular point in time for everybody so that he could understand.
But there's something different to being able to like personally go there and experience it too, right?
Just don't kill anything or else time's going to be ruined. The sensor has taught me that.
Go back in time. Don't kill anything.
Don't sleep with your grandmother.
Yes.
Futurama shot me the trauma.
Or do if it turns out that you have to have you exist.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have to.
I'm my
yes,
own
Mr.
Grandpa.
I'm my own grandfather.
Seems like a lot of rules going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, time travel.
You know what? I think you said it best, Joe, with the gigantic flora and fauna. I mean, that has
always
really interested me. It interests me how, you know, there is that. I guess it was like a much thicker...
Would you
thicker,
say it mega interests you?
There's a much thicker atmosphere, I think, of like a lot
higher oxygen
levels, yeah, to allow for that. And it sort of blows my mind to think... Okay, I'll go off on a tangent here.
Do it.
If you're standing watching it rain and watching ants scuttle into their home, and maybe there's a splashing puddle that goes splashing up there. You know, that on a much smaller scale, when you're that size, it's like a lot slower. Just like when we're standing here and you're seeing like this tsunami come across, right? And you're like, oh my God, we got to get out of here. From space, that's probably like, you know. From a much bigger perspective, I think it's much quicker. And that, to me, boggles my mind. I really did go off on a tangent, didn't
I? Yeah, what? But I love that you brought us with you.
I guess I'm with you, technically.
It's just like the scale of things, like, and its relativity to time, I guess, or perceived time, or perceived speed of time.
I got a tattoo of a trilobite on my arm because I wanted to think about that kind of context and that they were the dominant species on Earth for 200 million years.
Goddamn.
Just trilobites, all continents,
we ain't got nothing
all the
on
time.
Them.
They're like trilobites, we're going to be here forever.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
For so long.
It really interests me to think about that. In that
longer
context.
Than dinosaurs, much longer than people.
Like if you just zap back to that moment in time. Using that
trilobites everywhere.
Same time traveling machine. And you're like, holy crap. And then you look out over this like quiet, thick, dense atmospheric, and you know, the sun's having trouble reaching through. It's so sweaty and there's just
these... lost Alex on another
two. Oh, no. He's everywhere. Talking about ants again.
What are they called? Troglodons?
Trilobites.
Trilobites.
What about you, Alex Nersal? Let's get from a different Alex for a moment.
Oh my God. Mine
What's
mine
something
is,
that you wish was
my thought is so much less cool because I don't even want to go that far back. I think I think because I wrote a lot of pop history.
2020.
Yeah, I'm like, I wrote a lot of pop history stuff, and so whenever I'm like, I would love to like be around for this piece of like fashion or cosmetic history, I'm like, oh, it's so full of lead though. I'm gonna be dead within like six weeks. Jeez.
Uranium, you're gonna glow.
Yeah,
like...
but it's actually designed so that I can't breathe.
Yeah, I'm like, now I can just.
But don't worry, consumption
fine.
Is beautiful, and you'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna melt my skin off. So I recently watched the Industrial Light and Magic documentary. And in so that goes from like the start. They're
Isn't that
from
George Lucas.
Yeah, so from when they were created, to do Star Wars. I don't really care for the Star Wars movies, but watching.
Well, I think
the,
we're done talking. Here.
Like,
just kidding.
They're fine.
Show
B minus.
wow.
Like I don't. No, I'm kidding. It's. I give them a solid B.
for blowing me away.
Yes.
No, it's. I seeing them with like the matte paintings and all of this stuff, I was like, all I want to do is go back to that time and to like make this stuff. I want to like make these models. I want to do this stuff. I want to be there for as they're creating all these sort of techniques for filming things and everything. All of the stuff I think about is like stuff that I want to like make and do. And then, I was saying to Andy when we were watching it, I was like, I just wish I could have done this stuff. Because everything now, like people still do model work and miniature work and things like that, but a lot, it's still very CG heavy. It just seemed like a really interesting time in the, as that shift was happening from pure practical into digital effects. I think there was like tons of really, really cool stuff happening. I'm just always like, oh, I wish I could have done that. But also part of me sometimes wishes that I could just go back to like, I don't know, the 80s or the 90s and like find out what it was like to work in journalism when you could actually just have a job and like buy a house. And I'm like, oh
my God,
God, we live in hell.
That's the perfect answer is I wish I could go back in time to fucking
this four-story duplex is $5,000.
I'm like, what if I could just go to 1991 and just work at a magazine?
You know what? you make a really good point because I was always thinking about what answer to give. I kept thinking, oh, I go back to like the pioneer ages, or go back to like you know the times where we were seafaring. You know,
let's go back 10 years ago and invest in the housing. Well, buy a better house.
But there's no electricity in those times. It was like really a lot of disease. Also, really, really difficult living.
Sucks ass.
You don't really want it, right?
I'm a woman.
But the 90s,
like basically every age is terrible. Like almost everywhere.
Real.
I'm like, ooh, no, thank you. So it really has to be sort of like 1970s.
Ship me off to an asylum.
Well, we're watching The Simpsons right now, and it's funny because it's like season 4 or something, and they're talking about you know their foundation gets ruined, and they need an entire foundation restructuring. The guy's like, I'll do it for $8,000, and they're like, $8,000, and I'm like, oh my God. It's like they bought a new truck, a brand new plow truck, and it's $20,000.
Oh my God.
It's like, these are the times of like, oh my God, fuck. That's the craziest amount of money.
Well, to your previous point, Alex Nersal, we can get you some fucking minis to paint.
Ooh, yes.
You want to get some start
minis.
Clay shaping red Doran Jack and Mario.
I tell you, the only reason I'm not into Warhammer is because you guys weren't like, come play Warhammer.
My buddy's trying to get me into Warhammer.
It's how easygoing you are. You're like, cool, we're into Warhammer now? Done.
You know what?
You know, when you roll a crit in Warhammer, you roll the dice twice and add the...
No, that being said, I would totally try Warhammer, but it's so fucking expensive.
It is. Anyway, I remember in the 90s going with my these friends that would buy Warhammer. And it was like $30 for one or two figures. And I'm like,
What? You need a whole army, dude.
How do you get that kind of money?
Every once in a while, the ultimate kill time store is a Games Workshop store. Because I'm like, I always find myself having to wait near a Games Workshop. And right. I always like wander in. Guys are always really helpful. Oh, can I help you? And I'm like, nah, I don't know any of this shit. I don't fucking get it.
It's like looking
I'm
at
nerd.
It.
I'll just pick it up, look at it around. And they're like, yeah, that's $79. I'm like, there's five things in it. What the fuck is going on?
And you have to paint it yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, but I really hope they make a dope ass Warhammer movie because I don't really get the world, but I've played enough video games to know that the world is fucking awesome. Mm. Like, it's brutal and metal as fuck. But every time I see it, it's awesome.
Dark Tide
huge
was
shoulder pads.
Yeah, Space Marines. Yeah, totally. They got these huge
have to. Your shoulders are your weak spot, and that's why you need the biggest pad.
Anyway, yeah, shall we play some D&D?
Let's do it.
Right. Let's Warhammer this shit.
Electricity crackles through the air, and you dodge roving motes of ball lightning, bowstring taut, red. Through the corridor leading to the gnomish workshop, you hear the sounds of your friends keeping this mechanical dragon occupied, giving you valuable time to try to bring it down at the source. What do you do?
Is there anything in this room I can shoot?
It doesn't seem like it. It doesn't have the same kind of mechanism in the center.
Fuck it. Red fires an arrow at one of these crystals on the ground.
Roll to hit.
15 to hit?
You do hit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a stationary fucking rock.
It's more of like a hardness than
it's not like a tree.
It can't dodge out of the way like with a tree.
Trees can dodge. I saw it in the first episode.
They're tricky that way.
They're tricky that way. Yeah. 22 damage to the crystal to the north.
Yeah, that crystal explodes, and again, the lights in this room begin to flicker.
Ah, cool. Okay.
Crab Doran.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Doran, like, thinking to himself, really tired of not being able to do anything. Trying to pinch this beast keeps defeating me and blasting me with its breath. Anyway, so... enough acting. He does
role playing achieved.
And what an acting it was.
21 to hit.
Yes, it does.
And that's going to be 4d10. Why don't I have these ready? I don't know. Ask me next time.
There's only one thing that you can do, and you're like surprised by it every time.
I know. I'm like, where did those 32 points of damage.
Nice.
Fuck that thing up, Doran.
Boom.
Fuck yeah, you did.
Got this thing pinched at the end of your claws.
Yeah.
Fuck it up a little more.
And Doran, as you pinch at this creature, you notice that some of the light has gone out of its eyes. Some of the spark has gone out of its body.
It recently got dumped.
All by myself. You're losing your inspiration.
I'm just really struggling lately.
There's like this moment where my, you know, big black crab eye with no pupil is staring at this creature's big metallic fake pupil. And there's a moment there where they, yeah, connect.
And despite the fact that some of its little sadness is in its eyes because of the fact that Red is chipping away at its power source, it opens wide its terrible maw and breathes lightning on you again. Make a dexterity saving throw.
At 18.
Yeah, you succeed. So you only take half of all of this damage that I'm about to roll.
700 points of damage.
I only threw half.
You got this.
So Doran, you take half of 80 lightning damage. 40 lightning damage.
How you looking?
I'd like to thank you for your being the damage sponge in this episode.
Yeah, no problem. I don't feel a thing. It's I'm left with 15.
And then
those
little electric zaps move down the creature's body, and you take 11 lightning damage. How many hit points do you have?
4.
Left?
Oh no. Guys, we gotta stop this thing.
You're getting the faint whiff of fresh boiled crab in the room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, what is that?
Throw some
smell?
Corn in there.
Reminds me of the ocean side.
Jack, it's your turn.
Kill Doran.
Just do it for fun.
Everyone focus fire.
Perfect betrayal moment.
See, I could polymorph this crab into a giant crab.
Double crab.
Even crab. Double crab.
Into an even crabbier crab.
Crabception.
It's a crab within this crab.
This crab turns into a crab.
It would.
Oh my God, a crab-stuffed crab.
Inside you, there are two crabs.
That's right.
One is named Crab. The other is named Crab. Both won't stop fucking.
Don't stop believing.
Don't stop crab leaving.
Crab leaving.
Hold on to your feelings.
Yeah, okay.
My finest work.
Red, how's it looking in there?
I'm almost done.
Need a hand?
No.
Why is that? Is Red just too proud?
I was just going to shatter the room, which does a whole bunch of damage with extra badness to stone, crystal, and metal things.
Well, then go for it. You don't have to ask me.
Well,
I'll still get all the credit and glory for sacrificing myself to run up here. That's all I care about.
There you go.
Yeah, Jack.
You came up with the idea.
Of course. It was my idea.
Yeah.
Genius Red.
I think
smartest strategist.
G-E-E.
I think without Red
a brilliant mind.
I don't think Jack would do it. And I'm happy to focus on the other thing. If you got it, you got that.
No, I'm just being funny. Go for it. Do whatever you want. Red wouldn't think that Jack should be doing... Like, Red doesn't know what's going on out there. He's picturing everybody dying. He's like, no, you stay there. I got this. Don't worry.
That's fine. In that case, Jack pulls out his favorite Dazan's wand, and he whips up some magic missiles. He's going to gas it up with that extra alchemical casting.
Gas it up.
And he traces in the air a bow that looks a little bit like the one Mari is holding now. Just like taking that inspiration.
Jesus
trying
fucking
to,
Christ. Everyone's got to be a Bowie now.
Hey, nice bow.
Trying to like vibe on that magic, you know, same magic note. I think he saw polymorph. That was a familiar sort of thing. He's seen some...
I wish I knew somebody else with a bow.
Some rhymes in the way that they cast spells. And
I used to know someone who used a bow. I can't remember who. Oh, Jack's doing it because you did polymorph. I see. This is actually a get back. He's like, well, I can do your bow if you can do my polymorph.
It's not a competition. It really isn't.
Because I'm better than
there's
you.
There's no competition.
Jack fires off six magical arrows from Dazan's wand, just one after the other, slamming into this thing for a total of 81 force damage.
Holy fuck.
Damn. Wow.
Well done.
Spending
great job.
A lot of resources. And then he is going to dash further south because he sees another one of those glowy lightning things coming this way. So he's going to hide behind the next south flying machine on the wall.
Good stuff. Mari, what do you do?
Red, you sure you're fine in there?
Why does everyone keep asking me that?
Because we can't see you.
Because you went in there and you've just been in there this whole time and there's a bunch of smashing noises.
And explosions.
I'm doing it. Like, Red is like bleeding and like fried and he's like frantically panicking and like trying to save everybody. He's like, I'm doing my best.
I imagine he like sticks his head out and his hair is all standing on end. But yeah, it's like his whole body.
But I feel bad because I'm not saying, do you guys need help out there?
No. It's
they got it. They got crap.
That's what I mean. Like, it's all good.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I'm going to cast Tidal Wave again.
Cool.
Dex saving throw for the big boy.
21.
Yes, that does, but I still get to do damage.
Mm-hmm.
She waves her hands and water comes up and rises out of the floor of nowhere. Like it pours out of the cracks in the floor and it's filled with bits of dirt and coins and like a gnomish
coins?
Bone. Yeah, just there's all this, everything that's been lost in the cracks of the floor is being dug out and pulled up with it. Like there's wet paper floating by. Sorry, Jack. All these
800 to 1,000-year-old gnomish paper still had words survive on it this long.
Trash. Sounds
washed
like.
Washed away in a tidal wave.
Yes. Unfortunately, it only does 7 points of damage.
Oh, no.
Rolled low on that one. But I'm also going to shoot another arrow because I can. Because learning from Reds, that's 25 to hit. Oh, God. Oh, no, come back. Hang on a sec.
Oh, no.
Help.
She's so angry she threw the dice.
I'm getting out of here.
You don't have to be so freaking mad all the time.
Calm down.
So that is a 10 points of damage as the arrow sails through the air and strikes this thing. Somewhere cool, like right in the neck.
Yeah, the arrow the magic arrow goes straight into its open neck.
Yeah, and it
and it, it crackles. Yeah, and with and electricity. Disappears.
And I'm gonna take a little jaunt away from the thing that's coming towards me because I'm still trying to concentrate. She's doing a little like little saunter down. She's feeling better because something actually hit for once. It wasn't just firing bolts of lightning everywhere.
As more balls of electricity begin to shoot out of the room towards you, Mari, Red, you are standing in this room. The lights are flickering. These crystals are breaking everywhere. You're dodging these arcs of lightning as they almost catch you.
Maybe I do need some help. Steven! Red screams to the darkened corridor to his south, and out walks this tiny little goat.
Meanwhile, Jack and Mari are like, he said he didn't need help. And you hear him go, Steve, scream.
Yeah.
And Red locks eyes with him. Come on, buddy. You take that one. I got these two. Stephen full out rams one of these crystals with his heavy, hard horns.
Can we have Stephen make a dexterity saving throw?
Absolutely.
He runs through.
Oh, dexterity saving throw?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no. Shit. Steven rolled a natural one for his dexterity.
Ooh. For shame, Steven. For shame.
Shame.
Steven.
Shame. I'm getting this yellow die out of here. Get out of here, yellow die.
Steven, you take 7 points of lightning damage as you fry up just a little bit.
He's still fine. He's got 35 hit points.
Cool. You want to headbutt one of these crystals?
Yeah, he reels back angry now and sizzling, and it smells like tasty goat. And he's going to attack this thing.
It smells like roti in here.
Oh, man,
I want roti.
I know, right?
Oh, man.
Roti sounds good. Well, that's going to be good. That's an 18 plus strength.
I guess. That'll do it.
It's a 22 to hit.
Mm-hmm. How much damage?
15 damage.
Yeah. He headbutts a crystal entirely to shards.
Yeah. Good job, Steven!
And with that, this room loses power. The balls of lightning that were finding their way towards you in the room to the south flicker out.
Oh, thank
and
God.
You did
oh,
it.
Thank God. Mari, Jack, and Crab Doran, you all see as this giant mech creature's movements begin to shudder, slowing and slowing. It looks like it's maybe operating on some kind of backup power. Red has greatly disabled this monster.
Red turns to Steven. Good job, buddy. Now let's get out there and make some mess. Steven sits on the ground and Red runs past him to the south.
Nice.
He deserves a break.
It has a can, but you're not sure where the can came from, but it's eating it.
Steven always comes with a can. It's like his whole thing. Red is going to fire at the creature. That would be a 19 hit?
You just hit.
Ooh.
Yes, 19 is the AC, everyone.
Nice.
We found it.
And with my last magic arrow, I will use a bursting arrow on this thing. So it detonates the minute it hits. And it's going to take some additional damage. 31 damage as it takes explosive damage to its belly.
What does it look like when you explode this thing into smithereens?
A ripple effect echoes throughout the room as it sounds like powering down before the creaking metal begins to sizzle and break.
Sorry, sound effects guy.
Yeah, shit, that's right. Nothing happens, it just whoops out of existence.
It falls to the ground with a classic thunk.
It farts and disappears.
It just sounds like trash cans being
falls to the ground, echoing and reverberating in the room, and the last light of its eyes just powered down with a quiet hiss. Well, that wasn't so hard.
What happened to you in there? You look
me? I just got a little bit of a shock.
Yeah, you've got a little bit
that's
of
all, that's all.
He didn't have that eye twitch before, did he?
What eye twitch? I'm just blinking. Everything's normal.
Everyone looks like they've been slightly home alone.
Yeah.
Steven
yeah.
helped. Hey, Steven. Good boy. Thank you
once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Alexander, Amanda Kitchener, Anne, Braden, Brian Blass, Brianna Weber, Michael Weber, Bryn Marie, Cecil Lee Wilson, Colin Burkhart, Cherry Rose, Cytosine, Daniel, Haley, Harpo the Marx, Jay, JD, Joy, KR, KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Lead, Mari Kaniski, Matilda Rushing, Melissa, Melon, Nimble Dingo, Reagan, Ren, Roberta, S-Ray 96, Tama, Tara, Trapper 939, Xander, and Zach. Ooh, thank you so much! Oh.
What's the sound of someone turning? What's the sound of a crab becoming fleshy, like a crab turning
I'm
inside?
I'm sure the sound effects guy can fix.
I'll tell you, it's the amount of effort that I'm not going to be putting into that.
Oh man, I want to do that basic sound. I will
do it.
I'll
please
find it. I'll find a way to do it.
Good luck.
Ham.
Oh, that was
way to go, Doran.
Oh my God, Doran.
I feel like I've been drinking sea water.
Yeah,
you look like you've been pounded by some balls that discharged.
Oh, no. Don't see balls that discharge.
They did.
Oh, I didn't like my second clap. It was not
I was going to say, it's either a redemption clap or it's a
It was a failure. Chance to fail. Yeah. The first one was perfection, and the second one was just like sad.
That's the way it go.
Put that in the show notes.
Yeah. Sort of like
put
clapping.
In the show notes?
Rob fucked up on his second fail.
Clapping with advantage.
Every show, we rank the claps.
Yeah. Honestly,
like, today's standout is...
But we don't say... We don't say it's the claps. We just have every show note suddenly has a good one. Or like, Rob was not
2 out of 5
happy with this.
Yeah.
And it's just a really vague rating system and no one understands where it's coming from. At the end of the show, we go, it was the claps.
We just clap and then go,
what?
6.
It is sad though for how often you clap to be like, man, that one didn't go good.
It's not that hard either.
Right.
Two hands, put them together.
You got to look at your own elbows.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Ooh. Guaranteed clap every time. Stare at your elbows with both eyes.
What's the sound of one hand clapping?
Now this is going in because that was good.
Yeah.
Oh,
what's the sound of one hand clapping? Least it's this.
No, listen. I can only one hand clap if I wave my hand really violently.
Yeah,
you're calling the dog over.
Louis, go to
bed. Dog's like, I'm going to go high.
He's like,
what's happening over here?
Yes. All right, let's do this.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Let's play a game.
Yeah, so you guys are in the middle of some shit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.